Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
This first half hour of the UFO Files is brought to you by Fate Magazine, a monthly magazine offering true stories of the strange and unusual. Hey, we have an interesting and intriguing hour scheduled for you. Monarca Lynn Merrifield is a UFO researcher and an experiencer. She has been visited by ETs, gone aboard their ships, and she believes there is a connection between ETs, extraterrestrials, UFOs, and biblical stories. She says this can only be explained by the visitation of extraterrestrials when she's talking about the biblical stories. Well, we're going to find out a little bit about that and about her experiences of being, I don't know, abduction or contact. We'll find out what she thinks about it. Monarca, that's an unusual name. You say that means queen in Italian?
Yes, but they never said queen of what, so I'm lost at that.
Well, in your state of Pennsylvania, there's a town called King of Prussia or something like that, which I always thought was an unusual name for a town.
Right, right.
So you've been in the closet painting.
Yes, and I'm not originally from down here. I'm originally from Binghamton, New York. That's my hometown. And I'm a full-time professional freelance artist, and I have always been since I graduated from high school. And first of all, I should tell you a little bit about my difficulty in my UFO research because of my schooling. I'm dyslexic, and I also have ADHD, which made my learning very difficult in school.
Well, you can't tell it. I've corresponded with you for years now, and you've overcome this.
Oh yeah, and it's only through the Lord I've been able to do what I am doing. And
I want to get into that because we need to explain to people what you're doing right now. And you have been an abductee or a contactee. I don't know how you like to refer to it, right?
Well, I'm a lifetime UFO paranormal experiencer throughout my whole entire lifetime. But all these things that have happened to me as far as the UFOs go, it wasn't really revealed to me until 1995 when I've actually started having awakening contact with UFOs and being...
Yeah, it was no longer a dream state.
Right, right.
And we'll get into that in a minute, but you mentioned something right off the bat. You're very... I call you... Maybe you're spiritual. I think you're religious. Maybe both. How does this square with the paranormal experiences you've had all your life? I mean, how do you put all this together?
Well, I've never belonged to a church. I've never belonged to a denomination of any sorts. The only religious upbringing...
Well, that surprises me because you and I have had in-depth discussions about religion.
Right, right. And I believe it or not, I know more about the Bible. I've never read the Bible because I can't read, and everything's been brought to me by the Lord. And thank God for the internet, because through reading programs, special software programs, I can read the Bible that way now.
Tell me, how does this all? I'm going to get into a lot of your experiences here in a moment, but how does this really fit together? I mean, are you saying the biblical stories or stories about possible UFO encounters?
Exactly. Absolutely. I think all these... when I heard these Bible stories, I just look at them as fairy tales. I said, there can't be any scientific way that these stories in the Bible can be true. But if you put UFOs in where you see the chariots of fire in the Bible, I mean, it starts making sense scientifically.
You know, more and more people are coming around to what you're saying, Monarca. And I, for a long time, I was raised in a Baptist church, and I, for a long time, have thought that perhaps, especially in the Old Testament, many of these experiences were with UFOs. I mean, it just seems kind of logical, and if you put yourself in the mind of a priest, of a man 5,000 years old is writing this stuff, or 3,500 years back, and you know, in other countries like deep in the heart of the Amazon in Brazil, and when they have these encounters, a lot of times they're chalked up as demons.
Right.
And that's the only way a man, I think, knows how to handle it, to describe it.
That's the first thing that I thought is, oh, I'm under satanic attack here. And then that's when I ran and sought help through, because I didn't belong to a church. I went through my mother's new husband, which, I, you know, he was on the earth just a short time for me to meet him. But I went through his pastor, almost like my mother married this guy just so I would have contact with this man's pastor, and he ended up Dr. Barry Downey.
Now I get it that you believe in reincarnation from that last statement.
Yes, I do.
Let's get into some of this. Why do you have some deeply held beliefs? Why do you have those? Is it because of your experiences?
No, it's I had a Jesus encounter, but the first one, we'll start right from the beginning. What happened is when I was 7 years old, there was a woman across the street. Yeah, I wasn't really involved, but once in a while, she grabbed me by the hand and said, "You're going to church with me down at the corner." And not all my brothers and sisters would go, but I liked going because they had a Sunday school and they colored and did all this fun thing.
Sure.
Which introduced me to a person named Jesus. But I didn't like going there a lot because the preacher, when he preached, he would scare me because he was preaching the hell and brimstone. And
yeah, that was quite common. Still is in a lot of religions. And I've told you my theory about it. That's one real reason we have all these religions is because humankind, you know, they don't want to go to hell.
Right.
I'm ahead of you. I went to church every Sunday, so and did until maybe a year ago.
Wow, really? Well, that just started the introduction. But then finally, one day in 1958. I'm in the backyard on my swing set, and it's a bright sunny day, but I'm all by myself. I'm from a family of 12 brothers and sisters, and at that time, in 58, there were 10 members in my household then. But for some reason, everyone in the house was gone. I was out in the backyard by myself, and all I can think of, I didn't really know where they went. They must have been over to a neighbor's or close by because they wouldn't certainly not leave me there alone. But right out of the blue, I heard this voice, and this voice says, "Go into the house, get your tape recorder, and tell me how much you love me." And I just went into the house, and in the dining room, I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday. I had this little red and white tape recorder, reel to reel, and I don't know how I knew how to work the thing, but I took it up in my bedroom, and for 45 minutes, I sat there and just poured my heart out to God and Jesus, and told them how much I love them and protect me. And as soon as I got all done, I said, "Oh my gosh, I better erase this, because if my brothers and sisters get their hands on this, I'll never live it down." So I erased the whole tape, just put the tape recorder back. Well, that night, we all go to bed, you know, it's just a regular night, everybody's, and I'm sleeping, And all the, I remember my face being toward the wall. I'm in a bunk bed. My sister Donna is on the top bunk, and Bonnie's in the twin bed on the other side of the room. Donna's, I was 7 years old, Donna's 9 years old, and Bonnie's 12 years old, so they were a lot older than me. So, I opened my eyes up and I see this brilliant blue light just lit up the whole room. And I'm thinking, what is this? But I felt a very intense, like, scared feeling. Like something's not right here.
Mm-hmm.
I looked over and I see this spaceman and standing smack dab in the middle of the bedroom.
Now, when you say a spaceman, you mean he had a spacesuit on or what?
Spacesuit, and he had almost like a welder-type helmet on. I have illustrations of that on my website, which is BibleandUFOs.com.
Yeah, and we have a link to that.
Okay. And so, I mean, when I saw him, the first thing I said, I have to go get Mom and Dad, and their bedroom was downstairs. So I got up, but I looked over across the room, and I saw my sister Bonnie with the covers over her head like she was shaking with fear. I didn't see what Donna was doing. And I just got up, and it took all the strength I had to get up and run down the hallway.
Sure.
So I'm running down the hallway, and this spaceman is right behind me. I mean, I couldn't get away from him.
I mean, he was just there is all you know.
Right there. And I got right to the top of the steps ready to go down to get my father. And I just darted to the right for some reason into the bathroom thinking I could lock the door. But he was right behind me, and right behind the bathroom door was a little cubbyhole where my mother kept the hamper for clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And the hamper wasn't there, so I got into this cubbyhole and held the door close to the cubbyhole so I had a little barrier, you know. The spaceman was looking through the crack where the hinges of the door were. He's looking through the hinges, and all of a sudden I realize this man or this person is trying to convey how sorry he is for scaring me as bad as he did. And all of a sudden there was immediately, like, I forgave him. But something happened and I just blacked out. Well, the next morning, my sister Donna gets up, and she had to use the bathroom. And she closed the door, and I'm in the cubbyhole.
You're still there,
sleep. Yeah, I'm still there. And Donna's saying, Lindsay, you know, they called me Lindsay, because my middle name's Lynn, and they called me Lindsay. And I'm just sitting there. My eyes are totally open, and I'm just frozen there. But she thought I was just kidding around, and she started really screaming at me to get out of the bathroom. She had to use the bathroom, and I wouldn't move. So Donna says, well, I'm going down to get Mom. And she went down and got my mother, and my mother comes up, and I'm not even responding. And I don't even remember this part. This is what my sister told me later on when everything was revealed to me. My mother picked me up and just put me in bed, and I was in bed for days. And I really believe I was in shock for 3 days, but they just thought I was sick. So they didn't know how to respond. I should have been to a doctor or something, but...
Yeah, I understand how that would happen, where they wouldn't take you. And the you said later it was revealed to you. What do you mean by that?
Well, in 1995, okay, I was a visual display artist for a large department store.
Does that mean you took the mannequins and put things together?
Yeah, and also I made props and displays.
I think that's a great job.
Oh, it was wonderful. I loved it. And all of a sudden, just one of these days, I'm really having UFO encounters, and all my life I've been having them, but they were nothing like they were now. And it was funny. My experiences are so much different than the typical, like, gray encounters and stuff. I really don't understand that, you know, why they're so different, because I always kept on...
So you've never had a gray?
One time I had a gray experience.
Okay. Most of the people, like this one in the space suit, I assume they were humanoid otherwise.
Yeah, well, he was just a typical, you know, looking person, except he had a... like this helmet on.
Yeah, did he communicate with you other than, I mean, did you hear a voice?
The only thing I heard him say, well, no, in all these experiences, not once, all they do is give you impressions of their thoughts, and it's all mental telepathy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think they can communicate on our level.
Okay, now, back in 95, you had this revelation.
Yeah, right.
Tell me more about that.
Well, these dreams were happening, and what happens to me when I'm being took up aboard a craft is I stand up right, I mean, in the bed, and I shoot up with my hands down to my side like a rocket. I mean, that's how fast it happens.
Do you see yourself going up to the craft? I mean, is it a visualization?
Never. I've never seen where I was going until one day I met, I really believe it was Elijah. And Elijah told me to look up. And he said, while I'm going up like a rocket, he said, "Behold." And he lifted his hands up to me. I'm looking at him. He's got one of those Hebrew scarves on, you know, the shawl. And I'm looking at him, and he says, "Behold." And he looked up, and I looked up, and here I'm going right into a bottom of a UFO. And I'm going, "Oh, my gosh." And that's all he wanted to show me. After that day, I never had that. Going up like a rocket in the bottom of the ship. That ended that part. That was just revealed to me. That all that time, all that going up like a rocket was going up into a ship.
Well, can you tell me one instance of you remember going into the ship? What happens under? Is it a big bay or a big area or what?
Well, the problem is I've been in probably 24 different type of ships.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I have met probably, I would say, between 18 and 20 different type of humanoids, which no one else has seen, but the main purpose I've seen them was I was supposed to do artwork of them, portraits of them. They posed for me, and that was my only purpose of meeting all these humanoid.
So they wanted you to paint them.
Right, right. They're saying
portraits.
Good look. I'm like 9 inches from their faces, but I'm so intensely studying their faces, I don't bother looking to the.
They all have two eyes and a nose and
right.
A mouth. Are they all humanoid?
Yes, they were all. I didn't see any hideous creatures. They were just, you know, weird looking.
With a different color skin?
Right, right.
What was the most outlandish color of the skin?
The bluish. There was a bluish guard. He was very strange. He was guarding the...
Did he look like something out of a Superman comic book? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, he was very unique. I mean, I can't even make up this stuff what I've seen. There's no way this...
Well, no, I mean, I'm not questioning that. Unique, what do you mean?
He had bluish skin and angular features where he almost looked like a boar. Do you know how a boar's face...
You're talking about a hog?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he wasn't ugly like that, grotesque or nothing. He just had where the chin bone was, it was pointed out. Like, I have drawings of him, but I didn't put it on my website. Like, yeah, but I have it right here. But he had a helmet on, a brass helmet, that looked like a World War I type helmet. And he was guarding these gates. And when there's always someone with me on these encounters, but I never look to see who it is.
You, in other words, you do not feel alone.
No, there's always a like a guide next to me, and I know
I mean, how do you know? You feel them touching you or something?
He's the one that's telling me what's going on, and he was telling me all about this being, this blue being I was looking at, and he's going, take a good look at him, and I'm studying his features, and he told me that that being's, the only purpose of that being's existence is to guard those gates. No one is supposed to talk to him. No one's supposed to try to communicate.
Well, does he get a coffee break or anything?
Nothing. He just was made to guard those gates. And
what's behind those gates?
Well, I went over to the gates. I studied the gates a little.
So you were in some sort of city or a park setting or something with gates?
No, it wasn't. But yeah, it was kind of like a country.
Uh-huh.
Seeing trees around and
kind of like a maybe for lack of a better term, a castle.
Yeah,
with a moat.
It could have been, but I didn't look that far. But I looked into the gate. I thought, well, what's behind the gates?
And then again, it could be behind the pearly gates.
But it was things. I'm sure I saw it, but I wasn't allowed to remember it. And I'm sure if I had regressed, hypnosis, maybe a lot of this stuff would come back, which I'm definitely scared to do that, because it seems to me if they wanted me to remember, they would let me remember.
So in other words, you have complete trust in these people or these entities or these, what do you think they are, angels?
No, I don't trust any of them, and I told...
Okay.
I tell them right to their faces that I don't trust any of you guys, and the only one I always trust is Jesus Christ. And I put my total trust into him, and any...
Have you talked to these 24 different occasions? Did the term Jesus come up?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
They all knew who Jesus was.
Right. And they said they're just as spiritual as me, and they're actually spiritually advanced beings, which they know. They say that they have scientific proof that God exists.
And did they show you that proof?
No, and they said, we will get that proof soon. So, I guess that's just...
I wonder what that would involve.
The way it sounded like it was going to be something very simple. They said it's not going to be a complicated thing, which it seems like it would be, but, I've studied about molecular engineering a little bit, and...
You mean like creating... things, or...
Right, creating things. And, mankind has the ability to make anything that they want because they can do it molecular, but the thing that they don't have is the glue to glue it together, these molecules, and that's the big puzzle. We're getting way off of here, but I'm just saying certain things like are led to me and I start studying them. Because I just feel like, well, there's something here.
Well, you're an interesting woman. That's one reason we're talking here. why are they bringing you up to these ships? Because of your artistic talent, or what?
Yeah, and I'm also doing research on artists and the paranormal, and I guarantee you, Jerry.
Now, immediately when you say that. And I want to find out what you're going to say in a minute, but immediately when you say that, I have a vision of an artist sitting in a studio with the countryside around. It's 2:00 in the morning. They're painting a portrait of something strange, and it jumps out of the canvas. Anything like that ever happened to you?
Well, actually, it jumps out at me first, and then I put it on the canvas. It comes into the mind first, then onto the canvas. But
and the reason I ask that is it seems to me that maybe you're getting these impressions. I understand your paintings are very, very unusual.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. Maybe is there a message here? I mean, what are we doing exactly, you think? What do you think's happening here? Why are you painting these things?
Well, I can never understand, like I said, I I never talked to the first three UFO researcher I talked to and told them, like, I'm trying to talk to you. I know there's so much. I hope everyone can just bear with me because there's just so much. I mean, every day it's something.
Anything happened to you today yet?
Not today yet.
Okay, well, it's early.
Okay. Thanks. I needed that. No, but in 1995, when I went to Dr. Barry Downing, I don't know if you know who he is.
Or I probably do, and when I say no, I probably insulted him.
He actually is the author of the first book that made this claim that UFOs were connected with the Bible.
Okay.
And he's the pastor of my mother's new husband that died.
Okay.
So what, the thing is, I went to him just because I just needed to talk to a pastor because I thought I was being possessed or something. And I just said, Barry, I says, I know you don't know me. I don't want you to think I'm crazy, but do you believe in UFOs? And he looked at me, and his face turned white as a sheet. And he goes, well, yeah, I wrote a book. And he holds up this book, The Bible and UFO.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances of that happening, Jerry? I mean, it was just like, it just blew my mind. And he says, well, did you have a Jesus visitation? And I says, yeah, how did you know about that? And he goes, well, you might be having some good experiences here. They might not necessarily be demonic. And I'm sitting there, and he started telling me, and he's talking about his book, and I'm going, holy cow, I can't believe this. So I go home, and at this time, I wasn't sleeping at all. I was staying up all night, and because I couldn't sleep. The UFO encounters were so intense. It was like I didn't sleep like for 2 weeks before I went to him.
Why can't you sleep? Because of fear?
Well, they're there. I made a police report. There was a man outside.
Oh, I bet that was interesting.
Yeah, he was all dressed in white. And I'm not thinking this man out here is a spaceman or anything. He's out by my car in the driveway. And he's hunching. I'm looking out, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. And he's. I look out the window, and he like drops down, like, oh, whoops, she saw me, and he goes running out to the backyard, which leads into woods. There's nothing out there except woods, and I'm freaking out. And I had a dog, a German Shepherd, Rennie, and I let her out. And
what did she
off after? And something happened out there in the field. She came running back crying.
The dog came running back crying.
Yeah, and she wouldn't go off that porch after that night. I mean, she was really scared. So I made a police report. The police came up there. They couldn't find anything. No.
I saw a movie like that, similar to that. That guy was in a white suit in another dimension, and somehow he had to wear the suit and something.
Right, and I told the cops, I said, if you're going to sneak around someone's house, don't be wearing white like the ice cream man. I said, wear black. You know, I couldn't understand why he was all dressed in white like that. And
Tell me, how did that turn out? I mean, has this guy been back?
Well, I just had another encounter. What's happening now? They know I am very scared of them, and the reason they will not...
Yeah, but why are you scared of them? Have they hurt you?
Because, Jerry, it's like a stranger holding a loaded gun to your head. You don't know if they're going to pull it or not. That's what it's like. Because I don't see God coming down here and saying, this man is good, be nice. You know, he's not doing that. This is all a learning experience, for me.
So you suspect that there's good and evil.
Oh, definitely. Here. I'm not going to sit here and say some of those beings were good and some of them not, because I don't know. All I was told, the only thing is...
Have you ever said to them, why are you following me, or why are you contacting me?
I did this recently because every time I would come in contact with them, the only thing I was doing is, get me out of here. How can I get away from them? I would be running and hiding and trying to get away from them. Well, about 3 months ago, I finally stood up to them, and I did have a contact with, there's a picture of this. It was a submarine UFO. It was the weirdest thing I could. But there's a drawing of it, an illustration of a submarine UFO right on my homepage.
We are going to have to take a break, but we will be right back with more conversation with Monarca. She claims that she has met major biblical characters, including Jesus. So don't go away. Now let's take time out for a word from our sponsor, Fate Magazine. Tales of the strange and the unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the strange and the unknown.